It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. I'm feeling good. Got a big win last night. A back-to-back. Warriors approved of 4-4 in the back end of back-to-backs this season. Just completed their eighth back-to-back of the season. They beat the Thunder by 9. They outscored them 68-51 in the second half. So shout out to those watching on YouTube. Yes, the chat is back, and I see some of your comments there. The same cast of characters. I see you guys. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Cam in Antioch is in Alcatraz. He should have been in Alcatraz already, but we gave him, you know, some phone privileges and got to revoke those because
he pulled a get out of jail free card from Monopoly. Yeah, so he
pulled that card.
How do they do phone expired. Lines in Alcatraz? Being that it's an island,
they have Wi-Fi now.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a cell phone that they have. They gave it to you, and you got 60 seconds.
No, but I'm saying back in the day, did they run lines through the water? I got. I'm just curious on how that would work.
It's a great question.
I don't even know.
I mean, let me do some digging.
Yeah.
Do some digging on
it's
how
like
they
Shutter Island.
Communicated. Maybe they just wrote up letters and Mailman came to the island every single day. That must have been miserable.
I've got a better question for you, Bonte.
Oh, what's that?
The game you saw them play last night. Some guys will play a little better. Some guys will play a little worse. Maybe you get more output from Steph. But if they play a game like they did last night, collectively, as a unit, the rest of the way, forget trades. Where does that leave them? Where can they finish out? What's realistic? How good is that team?
I don't know. They've been inconsistent. So they're on pace to be 41-41. If they play like that level yesterday, they could play with anybody in the league. They can. They've beat OKC 2 or 3 times so far this season. They beat the Rockets 2 or 3 so far this season. But it's about form and how you're playing. And during that period of time, how well are you playing? Can you play your best basketball over the last 2 months of the season? Can this team consistently do that? Gary Payton II, is he going to play 25 minutes every night? Probably not. Kevon Looney, is he going to play 25 minutes every night? Probably not. Is Andrew Wiggins going to play 38 minutes or 21 seconds? Probably not. Is Steph going to play his 33-30? They want to limit it to 30-31. So to answer your question, I think we're in a wait-and-see boat with this team. They haven't had a 3-game winning streak since November 15th. So today, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to enjoy this win, but can they play at this level every single night? Well, they've proven through the first 47 games that they can't play this way every single night. And especially since the 12-3 start, they can't play this way every single night. But Steve Kerr and company, look, Steve, he was asked about how much this team needed to win, and he does believe that they still have that 12-3 start in them. He doesn't believe that was a mirage.
I think this group, we know they're capable. You know, what we saw early in the year was not a mirage. You don't just fall into that. But we, you know, watching the tape of the OKC game that we played on the road early in the season when we were rolling, you could just see a bounce in our step. There was a look in our eye, and I didn't see that tonight early in the game. We've struggled to play with that bounce and that confidence here the last month or so. So it's great to see us fight through that and then kind of reach that state in the second half where, like, you could see the belief, you could see the energy, and felt like we captured that again. And now we got to sustain it, obviously.
So they have to sustain it, and Steve Kerr does believe that team that started off 12-3 is still within that locker room, that they can get back to having that swagger and playing with that joy and passing ability and hitting shots or whatnot. But they're hitting their free throws, 48-59 the last two nights. They went 25-31 against Utah, 23-28 last night against Oklahoma City. So that's a good sign. Andrew Wiggins is shooting 80% for the free throw line. Loon Dong went 8-for-9 last night. So can you just get maximum effort every night? I think you can, because this team is playing desperate right now. But can they replicate that every single night, what they did to OKC? OKC's not going to miss the shots they missed last night. They shot 19 more times than the Warriors, 10 more offensive rebounds, and how many second-chance baskets did they miss, either at the basket or a wide-open three? So things are going to give here, but if they give that effort like they did in the second half, They're going to be in a lot of basketball games.
Yeah, the hard part is, like, so they got the Suns, the Magic, then Wednesday, Thursday, back-to-back. Like, I'm baking in, like, Steph probably won't play the front end of the Jazz.
Back-to-back, Lakers, just play against the Lakers.
You would think.
Yeah, Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Stay out of that one.
I don't know. But, like, that's where I think it gets really tricky as you're trying to, like, hey, can they bottle something up? Well, because of some of the age of some of the older guys, it's hard for them to physically play at that level every single game. And then it's also hard for them to just suit up because of load management. There's a lot on Wiggins' shoulders right now. I feel like he has got to kind of carry them over these next couple stretches, because you look at what the Magic are going to be rolling in here in a couple days, and what the Suns are going to be rolling in, and the perimeter players that they've got going. Like, with no Kuminga, it's GP2, it's Wiggins, and then what else?
But you know what? Phoenix, they are 73 in their last 10, but I don't think they're playing their best basketball by any means necessary. They lost to the T-Wolves last night. They beat a good Clipper team the other night, but they're kind of struggling with the Wizards at times, like the Warriors. I don't know. Phoenix is a mess right now with Bradley Beal. So they may be catching Phoenix at the right time. Be catching them at the right time.
Bradley Beal's numbers are just, like, I'm looking at him, and they're just so mediocre.
Yeah, I remember Warrior fans were clamoring for him. So I'm like, be careful. And for the record, I never wanted Bradley Beal. It's like, stay away from that guy. Stay away from him. Remember, he was the new Jimmy Butler.
He was
Zach LaVine.
Kolsky and me and Covey did that for like a year. It's horrible.
Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Well.
So we got to be careful what we just because we see a name doesn't mean they need to trade for him. There may be some names that we don't know about. Maybe some names that we just don't know about. We'll see. But I'm excited about this, Devin.
With the pods development, how does behind Steph Curry, what's it looking like right now with Schroeder and pods?
Well, I do like Schroeder. Schroeder had one of his better games yesterday.
He did.
Did he need it. But pods, at times I thought in crunch time, man, maybe play pods. Because pods, for whatever reason, he's come back after the 12-game absence, and he looks like he's just in a better place mentally. The weight of the world is off of his shoulders. He's able to kind of ease in, come off the bench, stabilize the second unit, and then play along Steph during critical stretches. But he played well with Schroeder, and he talked about the car ride for Sacramento with Dennis Schroeder, so maybe there's space for all three of these guys, because let's face it, Steph's at his best when he's basically playing the two-guard spot, running off multiple screens. Now, he can't play traditional point guard. We see that a lot this year, where Steph Curry goes double-double with the assist numbers and the point numbers. But those three guys right there could all play. They're all interchangeable right now, but it will be interesting to see what Devin Levy does with Schroeder down the stretch here. If you get that production that you got last night from Schroeder, where he's being a pest at the point of attack defensively, and he's making timely baskets offensively, maybe there's a role for him on his team after the February 6th trade deadline.
He sure gets into the mix with other teams, too. Like, late jump ball situations. He's always coming in late, and people getting all aggravated. He's definitely an aggravator.
Yep. He's a nuisance, man. He's an agitator, no doubt about that. You know who agitates me? KC in San Jose. He's calling right now. KC, San Jose. We'll get to Antoine and Nick in a second. KC. Good morning to you, brother.
Morning, Bonte. I just gotta say, man. Like, you know, great win last night. I'm watching the game. You know, it's gone to a point where you're working and stuff. And if the third quarter, my son's excited, he's 11, then I'll start paying attention. I'm just being honest, right? But last couple of games before that, the entire January game, I've been watching. You know what this version of Wiggins is? He's obviously the best version, right? Like, he's driving, he's attacking. But you know what this is? This is my team in November before performance reviews are due. He doesn't want to get traded. Come February 7th, Wiggins is going to Wiggins, and we still got to get rid of Dre.
What do you mean by Wiggins is going to Wiggins?
Time is a flat circle.
Hey, KC, quick, what do you mean by Wiggins is going to Wiggins? Enlighten me.
He's going to take his 12 shots and then, you know, peak at 17 points by third quarter. And then he'll be on the floor, but he won't be on the floor. You know what I mean? And ball's not going to move. The version, if he can just play this, I know, like, everybody has said that over the years. If he can just play like this all the time, oh, dude, he's a legit all-star. The guy has been given, you know, the body of a Greek god. He's so athletic. He's, the mind doesn't have that. he's just doing this so he doesn't get traded. I'm calling it right now. Come February 7th.
Forget that part. Time is a flat circle.
I mean, come on. He's just disrespected a guy. That Jake
well, PCO. We don't have to. Yeah, we don't have to. We just keep it moving.
Man. Yeah, I mean, come
on. There's no point. Time is a flat circle. Are you familiar with that particular reference?
Yeah, he lost me. Because he lost me, man. He lost me with that. You know what? I'm going to pick this back up. Because Okay. 95-70 game knockout tournament's back. Monday, March 3rd. At Chase Center, man. I'd still get it.
I'm out.
Win to be a California resident. It's time to give out the keyword as well. We're going to give out the keyword right now to win a spot in the knockout tournament. The keyword is shoot. Like, shoot at Chase Center. Shoot a basketball. Shoot. S-H-O-O-T is the keyword, as in you shoot the basketball when you play knockout, and you shoot to make it to knock other players out, like Zuchi Mane and Javon Shannon. I got to look at the list of qualifiers to make sure I show up, because make sure I get a good spot in a knockout tournament. Listen between 8:30 and 9, and when you hear this sounder, bam, 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 be the first to call in with the keyword, and you will be on your way to Chase Center to play a 95-70 game knockout tournament. Go ahead, Sask. I know you want to get it out with KC in San Jose.
What?
Time is a flat circle.
Well, he's basically, he just doesn't trust
Andrew. He doesn't trust Andrew.
Like, okay. So, disregard the whatever the family stuff reference was, PTO, all that. Like,
I mean, that
just
was
disregard
just,
that. I know, I mean, disregard that.
That,
so,
that was just disregard.
Do you trust Andrew Wiggins to maintain the level of play?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he's done it all season.
But what about last year?
Last year was an anomaly. His dad was sick, and I told you it was an anomaly. 13 points a game, it was all hell broke.
No, but what about his prior, 10 years in the league where he's been inconsistent?
Well, he's been a 19-point-per-game scorer, and let's not act like we watched every single Minnesota Timberwolves game.
No, but
the rumor was in Minnesota that, boy, he could defend all the time. Now, with the Warriors, I thought we'd see some great play for him when he got traded here. I thought we saw some good play from him when Kelly Oubre Jr. was here, and he really came on the scene late in that year. And then the 18-2 start. You can't forget that. In that season where he went to the All-Star game. Now, he went through a slump. He went through a slump like all shooters do. He went through a slump. But Wiggins has been a plus positive to me, or plus whatever it is that you want to say. He's been a plus-plus for this team. I trust Andrew Wiggins to finish a year strong. I think he's just getting better and better and better. He's becoming more aggressive. Now, there will be an adjustment when Draymond Green comes back in the lineup and has the ball in his hands at the half court, at the top of the key. There will be an adjustment when Jonathan Kuminga comes back and he's playing alongside of him, and whether or not he's going to have to pass or defer. But right now, on both ends of the floor, Andrew Wiggins is giving me everything that he has, and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, he's streaky, though. Like, that's one thing I've learned about him. Like, he'll go stretches where we see aggressive Andrew Wiggins, and then he goes stretches where there's a lot of settling. And I think now that his free throw shot is starting to come into play, it feels like he's more confident in driving to the hoop and less settling. And I think that that's an important factor for him maintaining this level, like being aggressive.
How about this?
Attacking the rim.
How about this? Since January 1st, he's giving you a 19-5. And
that's
I'll
good.
Just go to the point totals in January. 15, 24, 18, 9, 20, 24, 31, 4, 25, 17, 20, 19. He's had the one-off. He had the game against Boston where everybody stunk when they lost by 40. Everybody stunk in that basketball game. So I'm going to give him a mulligan there. The Miami Heat game double overtime, he didn't have it. They lose by 16. He scores 9. He just didn't have it. But other than that, in the month of January, my man's just been solid. 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 I mean, 19 a game in the month of January with 5 rebounds and playing defense on the other end for every single second. So,
But I guess given where they're at with who's not available, the requirements from Wiggins we're demanding more. That's what we are. Like, it's just fair or not. People are demanding more. And so solid, like, people want great. And, that's the problem right now with the way the Warriors are built, is their best player, Steph Curry, isn't playing great. And then their second player is playing solid. And given where they are realistically in the standings and roster wise, like, it's not enough, and it sucks. More is being asked.
But you know what though? When I look at Zach LaVine making his $48 million, and I look at Andrew Wiggins making his $28 million, I say I'd rather have Andrew Wiggins on this roster because I know what I'm going to get from defensive end. He's going to save Curry from having to defend elite guards. Think about that. He's guarding SGA, Jalen Williams. Go to Minnesota. He's guarding Anthony Edwards, for crying out loud, chasing him around. When you got to play Cleveland, you got to guard Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. That's no easy task. When you play Sacramento, you're guarding Malik Monk, or you're guarding De'Aaron Fox, or you're guarding DeMar DeRozan. You know, when you play in Chicago, you're guarding Zach LaVine. Andrew Wiggins has probably been, outside of Stephen Curry, your most consistent player on the roster this season. So that's why I'm saying, outside of Steph, he's my most consistent player. Now you can say, hey, sell high on him because he's going to turn into Andrew Wiggins that maybe loafs from time to time. I don't see that happening with this roster, and I don't see that happening with Andrew Wiggins. I think he's at peace with what happened with his father. He no longer has to worry about his father suffering over and over an illness, and I think that's helped him. I think that's helped him a lot. And the guy smiled more this season than he did all the last two seasons. So I think we need to focus on something else that's not maybe consistent, because Andrew Wiggins has been consistent. I do believe, I disagree with KC, I do believe he's going to be consistent all throughout the season, even after the trade deadline.
No, he is their second best player, and I think the overarching theme, which is, that's right, and then I think most people would say, man, that's not good enough. Like, it just isn't, you know? Like, it, given where they're at, it sucks. You know, they need to get a legitimate other player to go alongside those two, Curry and Andrew Wiggins, to have any kind of shot this year.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
And building for the future.
Let's go to Antoine in Nashville. Antoine, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good, man. Good.
Good, good. Hey, real quickly, pretty much with the whole regards of Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is a great player. He's not the answer of what we need to trade. He's been consistent majority of the year. So KC is tripping the last call. He's tripping completely. But the main thing is what we've been saying for a while now. It's Draymond Green. When you look at Draymond Green, you know, what he, prime Draymond Green, he was definitely valued on the team a lot. But with his defensive prowess and him not being on the floor, his body starting to betray him, the worst asset is an asset that's not available to you. And he's only getting older in age. We know that we need to keep the team young. So getting rid of Andrew Wiggins would not be ideal. But then also, too, getting rid of Kuminga would not be ideal. So if you ask me, I'm thinking most likely Draymond with a couple of other guys expiring contracts, that would be more ideal if you're going to try to get Zach LaVine. If not, I think Vucevic is also a great one. I've preached that before, but he would be able to help Quentin Post, you know, kind of develop and take some pressure off him, you know, and so far as Quentin going into his second year. But if you're going to get Zach LaVine, I think you need to look at maybe getting rid of Draymond. He's most likely responsible for the reason why we don't have KD or Poole. But also, just in general, he's not available, especially in this super high offensive NBA we have now. That's all.
All right, good call. Good call. Good call. Let's go to, he wants to trade Draymond Green. Thinks you could trade him. Who knows? Is Draymond even available? What did Slater tell us yesterday? He finds it unlikely it happening for other people who want to trade Draymond Green. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hey, Dunleavy, you got to get creative and do like a 3 or 4 team trade, you know what I mean? And wiggle in there. Because, you know, the Warriors, when we were weak, everybody's always trying to burn us and snatch one of our best players. We were desperate, you know what I mean? And we get burned in a trade. We're looking dumb. So I'm just like, man, look, go get Jimmy Buckets and go get Bam Bam and a 2-player deal to Miami and work with someone else. Or go get Embiid and Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? Do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Or get the Brown. Go get the Brown from L.A. Somehow trade Draymond for the Brown. You know, I don't know if they sign up on that, but throw in some cash. I mean, it's not like we don't have some cash. I mean, make it happen, Dunleavy. You know what I mean? You know, sweep off the desk, get rid of all the fingernails you've been chomping on for the last 3 weeks, and get a trade done, dude. Come on, make it happen.
I love Nick in Berkeley.
I love him, too.
Let's go get the Brown. Give us some cash, too, man. Give us some cash, too.
You get frustrated with me, and I get it, like, because I'm always looking at, like, because this is what offices are doing. They're looking short-term, medium, long-term.
I don't get frustrated with them, buddy.
No, but I'm saying, just talking about transactions, right?
No, I don't.
But I do think, like, a decision that this team has been, it's been hanging over this team is they have Wiggins and Draymond, and they have Kuminga. They have a decision to make on Kuminga financially. And if you look at their books, If they keep all three and Kuminga gets over $30 million, even if they let all these other things expire, they're putting themselves in a tricky, tricky cap situation.
No doubt.
That is going to lock themselves in. So that's why all of these, like, we have a lot of decisions, but it's there's like a three-headed, whatever, love triangle thingy going on where you got the Kuminga, the Draymond, the Wiggins, and I think it's really tricky to try to figure out how to keep all three of those guys, pay Kuminga, and still be able to give yourself opportunities to make moves in the offseason.
There's no doubt.
I think that's the hula hoop they're trying to keep up in the air.
While trying to win.
Keeping
your books in order. I understand that.
Which is why,
when someone is like, hey, well, this team should look. All these teams, if you don't have a plan A, plan B, plan C, and if plan A doesn't work so you can counter to plan B, plan D, plan E, plan F, you've got to have, that's how you get fired at your job of being a GM or front office executive. If you don't have a 5-year window and all these whiteboards have contracts and who's going to be available in the draft over there, there's names all across the board on the whiteboard. So these organizations are always thinking about that stuff. What's good for the short term? What's good for the next 2 years? What's good for the next 5 years? What does our books look like now? What is our books? The Niners are experts at this. They get ahead of the salary cap where they go into the offseason with $50 million in cash. Then you hear the rumors that, hey, Fred Warner's going to restructure his deal. Wow, that's going to save you $12 million. Well, George Kittle may sign new money. Wow, that may save you another $10 million. Boom, you're going to get rid of this guy. Next thing you know, the Niners may be flush with $80 million in cash because they do a great job of looking at the future and looking at their future books. If you're not doing that as an organization, you're going to get your ass fired and you're going to sink the organization. And I think fans do that too. But it's important not to get too bogged down in the money during the season right away because we don't know what the cap may look like next year. We have an idea what it may look like, but new money may come or they may shrink the cap. There was a couple years ago in the NBA where they thought the salary cap was going to be a number. It's like, oh, actually, we're working with like $5 million less.
COVID. It was after COVID. So you know, when they recount for what they've got rolling.
Let's go to, before George Sedano, let's go to Stoney in Brooklyn. Stoney, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Stoney?
Yeah, I've been watching y'all guys for a long time, man. I like that content. You know what I mean? I'm a Warriors fan, but we got to make a move, man. And the move got to be either LaVine or Jimmy Butler. One of the two. I know you guys talking about Wiggins, and we want him, we love him. You might get 10 points from Wiggins tomorrow. I'm seriously, you know?
Was he from New York?
Yeah, Stoney of Brooklyn.
I love that Stoney accent.
Stoney of Brooklyn. Now, you may get 10 points from Andrew Wiggins, but let me tell you something. In the month of January, he's played 12 games. You've had two games which you didn't get 10 points. All right? You've got 15, 24, 18, 20, 24, 31, 25, 17, 20, 19. And then 27 last night. So this whole Andrew Wiggins like, hey, you may get 20 tonight, you may get 10 tomorrow. That hasn't happened in 2025. Oh, no, man. Let's talk to George Sedano of ESPN. We should be happy after a win. They just beat Oklahoma City. Why is the mood down?
Because this fan like the base, down. We're spoiled.
Gosh, we're stop spoiled. Being, we'll stop being spoiled brats. All right? Gosh. Let's be like, they just beat Oklahoma City in a great NBA basketball game. I don't get it. That's why I can't. Sometimes the fandom just drives me crazy. Chase Center was fired up last night.
It was the most fired excited the hell it's up. Been in weeks.
They were fired up at the gatehouse. Couldn't leave that place. Then we get on the airways in the morning. So, I'm Chase Wiggins and Draymond. It's a fluke. I don't care. If you don't come on. Good Lord. God Almighty. Do you believe? What the hell is going on with you guys out there in the streets? Come on, dumb nation. I know it's not all of you. Damn. Gosh, whoa. Never satisfied around here. More coming up, brought to you by Chilled Auto Body.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
Now back to the morning roast, Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
How many people actually listen to Steph and shut the hell up? And say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
That's David in Maryland. He's just going to chill. I'm going to chill, too. Leave the Twitter fingers alone. Leave the trade machine alone. Let the Warriors cook. Let the Warriors cook. Boy, we need a deal. We need something to happen so bad, just for the sake of the sanity and the Joe Shaskys of the world.
Okay, this is coming from the guy every year with the Niners because of their expectations is Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, it has been. That's the setting should be Super Bowl or bust.
So that, for a lot of Warrior fans, that's the setting with Steph.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's fine. I'm with that too. It should be like that. Our mindset should be championship or bust.
And that's why there's fervor over the trade deadline.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand it all the time. But for the guys that you guys, what I've said, for the sake of you guys, I want something to happen. I need you guys to be mentally right.
But if a big deal happens, you're not allowed to like come in and like it. Because remember, you wanted to stand pat.
No, I could like whatever. What do you mean? I'm not allowed to not like. What are you talking about? Said, hey, if they stood pat, I'm okay
say
with it.
Yeah,
you can't stay with a straight face, Mr. Flip Flopper.
You
Mr. Flip Flopper.
Stand pat.
What's this from Flip Flopper? We just played yesterday's show, boy. I'm not gonna lie. Yesterday on Pulse Game Show, I was thinking about you, Shasky. I was thinking about you. I said, "Boy, GP2 had himself a night. He got traded on the morning roast this morning. Did Andrew Wiggins do what he did?
I said, he was another one
who was traded by my boy Shasky.
My fault.
Not a good day in the Shasky household yesterday's show.
Bill Walsh tried to trade Joe Montana multiple times.
We know.
Is Bill Walsh a moron?
Yeah. But he was also trying to get John Elway.
Genius. What are you talking about?
Think about how asinine that would have been had he gone to Steve Young.
He would have ruined the organization. Richard Seymour. He traded everyone. He traded away Randy Moss. Like, trust me, man. If you do
traded
the job
Randy Moss
long
after
enough,
Randy Moss.
You're gonna have some trades and some trades you don't like.
Well, sure, Randy Moss also acted an ass too. It was like, hey, I gotta go.
He gave the Niners a great season a couple years removed from that.
He didn't give the Niners a great season. He
started the Super Bowl.
He had like 35 catches and was all games.
The gravity,
he showed his ass Super Bowl. We talk about him the greatest ever. I don't know why they're not using him. Like, yep, Boston's done. And then we get to the first half, and Crabtree's trying to get him going. Come on, Randy, let's go. He's got the deer in the headlights look, and he's not even jumping for passes. Randy Moss, missing with his Super Bowl performance.
But you
don't want to talk about Trent Williams. Randy Moss had an awful Super Bowl for the 49ers. Awful. Just awful.
But you can understand, like, again, and I get why you say it. Like, hey, and when we were growing up, the Niners won Super Bowls. My calibration is Super Bowl or bust when you have a good team. Well, that's how I would say a lot. I don't want to say everyone. A lot of Warrior fans, their calibration, because we've been the center of the sports universe for a decade, is when you have Steph Curry, it's championship or bust. There is no in between.
They didn't even make the playoffs last year.
I understand where they're at, which is why fans are losing their minds watching a team that's struggling to be the 11 seed. They want to see a big move.
Let's go to Tony in the Bay. Do you want to see a big move, Tony? You want to see a big move? Big move?
Yes, I want to see a big move, man. We got to make a move. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to watch every game and see Steph Curry go.
Wait, Tony, come on, man. Why you get so emotional around here? If I can keep it together for 20 hours a week and not curse, you can too, because you should have heard the curse word Shasky. Shasky had about 10 curse words in 2 minutes before the show, and he keeps it together during the 4 hours on the airwaves. Come on, Tony in the Bay. Come on, Cannon Antioch.
Doc.
Just dropping F-bombs left and right.
I mean, this show, the callers that we have on this show, I will put our callers up against anyone in the country in terms of the ratio of real words to cuss words. Because it's just unreal. People feel so comfortable, like they're just hanging out. Too comfortable.
What did Tony in the Bay say? How'd he get to that F-bomb? He started revving up. You can hear him revving up.
It snuck up on me a little bit. Yeah. And thankfully, Joe Shasky's in my ear real quick, so I just dumped it immediately.
Sometimes I feel like it's my fault because I hype these guys up. I get them running through a wall or something, and as you know, he's just starting to let it fly. Come on, Tony, man. What do you want to do? Make a trade? He's all like, I want to make a trade. And then he's, all of a sudden, he's bad for a couple
my
weeks.
My favorite's when it's like the second or third word where they say it's like, oh, bleep. When they go right into it, it's like, okay. And just,
the classic
and then,
one was,
and then you guys just have blank stares. Just like,
well, he's been waiting for 17 minutes, and then all of a sudden, three words in, and boom.
But your boy at the Doobie Awards, who was hammered, He got up for Shaman shoutouts.
That was great.
Couldn't even figure it out. And started cursing through Shaman shoutouts. I was like, hammered. Oh, damn.
He wasn't hammered.
Oh, he was hammered. Was he Did you see him? Oh, he was hammered, Shasky. You know who I'm talking about, Lubman, right?
Well, Lubman was
those are the real roasters right there.
Dude.
That's why I love our listeners. Chaz, you got a good point. I take our callers and listeners.
I'll take them over anyone.
Cam and Antioch literally jumped by the gay house, yelled my name out. I was like, he's like, look at my side, bro. You know who it is. He goes, come out here. You know who it is. I'm like, who are you? He goes, it's Cam and Antioch. I said, I called you a goddamn idiot last week. Why are you coming around here?
This is the only show in America. We'll have to use the dump button on four different callers. Yeah. And then at 9:30, we'll be welcoming Mayor of San Francisco, good friend of the show who listens every day with his kids, Daniel Lurie.
I mean, with how comfortable these guests get on this show, I mean, are we sure that the mayor won't drop one someday? I mean, George Kittle's swearing on this show.
He did swear on this show.
Is that the next level?
T.O. swearing on the show. Jerry Rice is swearing on this show.
Bonte swearing me off the show.
Probably. I swore.
Draymond cussed him out because of Joe the show.
Absolutely incredible.
Got to stop that.
Draymond was active last night on Twitter.
I'm starting to believe you. Starting to believe your lies.
I know.
You
talk about someone not listening to Steph's Twitter figures comment.
Who, me or Dre?
Let's talk about Draymond. Well,
Shot, you talking to me.
That's never going to get old, huh?
It's not going to get old.
It's never going to get old. It's never gonna get old.
You own that. Like that's the thing. That's exactly. A great moment in your career. It's a great moment.
No, well, it's not a great moment, but
no, it is. I know it's crazy.
But a lot of people come up to me. It's like they go, Bonte, you're such a professional. I don't know how you handle that. And I'm just like, I just want to forget about it.
And you know,
my proudest moment is it's never escalated to anything other than what it did.
That was a joke. There you go. All I ever think about is that was the day of my dad's funeral, and he came out after doing the show. He comes out to the funeral. We had an emotional family day. My dad loved Bonte. He's obviously still up in heaven loving him. And it was such a long day for us. And I get home, and I see him. I go, oh, my God. And, of course, I'm so selfish. I'm like, that's because of me.
Yeah, of course he is. He called me the next day. Shashi called me the next day because it was a back-to-back. They were playing the Toronto Raptors the next day. We're actually supposed to get Ron Adams that day, but they got stuck on the tarmac that night. And, you know, obviously you get the calls from the Warriors that night. It's like, hey, dude, don't lose any sleep. It's all good. You didn't do anything right. You're all good. So, you know, I'm getting who's who of phone calls. And I get one from Shasky. And at first he goes, B, I just want to say I apologize because I know Draymond came at you because of me. And I say, that's the most narcissistic thing anybody's ever said.
But I truly felt that way.
Yeah, I know you did.
But it was about me.
It was about me, and he just came at you. And you may lose your job because of me. I'm like, no, Shasky, you know what?
As much as I wanted. Felt bad.
No, you shouldn't feel bad.
Now it's funny. But at the time, I did feel bad.
I can't find the time.
Well, I miss you, Pops.
Well, 925. 925. What a day that was. 925.
My brother's still mad at me for throwing him under the bus during the
UFC. Oh, yeah, you did throw him. Dude, that's the other thing. 3-1-1, Shasky threw his own damn brother under the bus during the eulogy.
Trying to hit the joke.
Pat was like, what the? And everybody in the church was looking around was like, damn, Pat cheated to get the airport job?
No,
damn.
That's not how flippant it was.
Damn, he had the answers to the test? I heard somebody in the back say, I failed that damn test.
It's not
I thought I had the job.
You know.
Wait, he had the answers? I was like, and Pat's still living about that. I was like, damn. He was after the funeral. Pat was sitting there. He's sitting there like, I can't believe JoJo. And I threw gasoline on the fire. I was like, can you believe that? Pat, I was like, Deli Boy, man. Did you hear that? I said, can you believe it? Now, I put 10 on too. So, unbelievable. All about Shasky, man. It's all about Shasky. Hey, what a narcissist. Man, I know Draymond cursed you out because of me. So he took it out on you on live local television.
He did. I am slippery.
We should have asked Dugas that.
He's gone. Usual suspect.
They're saying now a Bonte Draymond interview would feed families.
It would. I need that sit down.
You need to sit down on 101?
I want that
sit down. You want the music too?
No, I mean, I want the sit down. Oh, I'm you asking want the sit down. Oh,
yeah, I forgot it's all. Yeah. My heart hurts.
Could you imagine me doing the Barbara Walters? And then what?
What would you ask Draymond that first question? Would you walk into it? If you got to interview Draymond, you out of all people.
Yeah.
Because I could go Steiny, but I'm not going to do that. That wouldn't end well. But if you walked into a room and you're sitting down with Draymond Green, what are you doing? How are you greeting yourself?
What's up, Draymond? Joe Shasky, 95.7 The Game. And then just seeing his face. Because like it's either, you know, maybe I back up. I don't know. Like I don't know what he's gonna do. I really don't.
You'd be a little nervous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, what are we talking about? First off, I'm the king of anxiety and awkward. So absolutely, the anxiety would kill me. I mean, just kill me.
Oh man.
But then I try to. You see, what I like, I pride myself on is being so awkward. It's charming. And so I'm hoping that that's what would try to override the deck.
Oh, my God. What would be the first question?
My first question to Draymond?
Yeah.
Explain to me a time you deleted a tweet that you wish you didn't.
Oh, my God. You start with Twitter?
Yeah. Just break the ice.
That's actually a pretty good question.
Yeah. Oh, damn. He was going at people last night. He was watching another game.
The Knicks and the Nuggets.
Yeah, and he was talking about how to defend Jokic and the pride of man-to-man defense and not fronting him. And it was just well,
he was tearing down Karl Anthony Towns and like why he's not a championship player and why Jokic is a championship player.
And yet the Knicks won by 10.
Yeah, well, and yet the Timberwolves also beat the Nuggets in the playoffs last year, and Kat had a huge game in like one of those performances to just keep them in the series, like the whole thing. And then he responds after it, and then he says, I'm not going to read all the replies that are hating.
Yeah.
Clearly reading the replies that were hating on it.
Well, hey, would you ask him Xbox or PS5?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be breaking that out.
Favorite rapper?
Yeah. And then I'd ask him the most difficult question no one's ever asked him. Steph or LeBron? What?
I thought you were going another direction.
I thought you were going to go Hawaii. You got to slip that in there.
But you got to slip it in?
Yeah, you got to slip that in there.
Well, the boss is, I heard this out here, but the boss said, Bonte, I noticed how you slipped in Q rating with Larry Berry. He said the Q rating was at an all-time low, and you just kept it moving, and he didn't flinch. It's like, that's how you do it. You slip it in a little bit.
Well, that's
like the way
I,
you ask.
Like when I slipped in that I knew someone very important within his organization that I coached his kid. I didn't know that. It's like, yeah. I need you to know that.
Yeah. Let's slip in this contest.
Shasky, man.
Is this Trick Daddy slip and slide? Little slip and slide radio?
No, it's Trick Daddy. Let's go.
That was the sounder. We told you what the cold word was. Be the first one to call in right now with the keyword. Cold word, keyword, same thing. 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. And with the keyword, you'll win a spot in our knockout contest at Chase Center Monday, March 3rd, the second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament. You must be 18 and you must be a California resident. The next time you could win would be around noon at Steiny and Goo. We'll be doing it all week, so keep your listening ears on for your chance to win a spot in the knockout tournament. I say, what up, Grandpa Goo? I say listening ears because I always tell Chester, hey, where's your listening ears? Oh, yeah. You don't have your listening ears. And they pretend to put it on. It's like, Papa, I'm listening. Can I get some ice cream now? Yeah, we'll wait on that.
I'm so frustrated with LJ right now. It's just, I tried to feed him all kinds of different food, and for Michelle, he'll eat whatever she puts, you know, into the spoon and into the... It's oatmeal and bananas. I'm relegated to the oatmeal and bananas every time. That's it. That's all he wants to eat.
Would you do...
It drives me nuts.
Would you do Dizzy with Dad? Dizzy with Draymond?
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Still that from YouTube.
Yeah.
He's a Steelers fan. What? He has a lot of takes off football.
Does he?
Yeah, he does a podcast with Jordan Schultz.
Yeah, well.
I like Disney with Day-Day. He had some bad takes over the week, the football takes. And we all have some bad football takes.
What were they?
Well, he had the Chiefs being one and done in the
one
playoffs.
One and done.
Yeah, I did say the luck was running out in the postseason for Kansas City, so I got a bad take, too.
The luck
You
was
didn't have them
out.
One and done, though.
I said the luck will run out
this
postseason.
You sound like Steiny. One day Steph will not be good.
Yeah.
If I say it for 15 right. years, eventually I'll be right.
It's like that one media member. Gary Ryan's last day at radio is coming up. He did it for like 5 years. Like, yeah, who was?
I love the yearly freezing cold takes of Trent Dilfer saying the Patriots aren't good anymore. Dude. For like 6 years, dude. They kept going back to a Super Bowl.
Freezing cold takes be getting people, dude. Well, but a lot of people be snitching, too. Like, I know for me, somebody told me, it's like, yeah, I send all your tweets to freezing cold takes. Hopefully you get caught one time. It's like, why? Why me? I admit when I'm wrong. I got no problem being wrong. I don't care about being right or wrong. I don't make any extra money off of that. Come on, be wrong in the future.
I think way back when, before we were super tight, I think you had a take that I replied. I was like, Bonte, I got it at Freezing Cold Takes here. And you responded, why are you snitching on me like that?
Yeah. Oh. I did reply. That's what I used to do. You snitch. Why are you snitching on me? Like, I did one. So, and I actually made a lot of money on this game. KD was on the Warriors. They played the Bulls, who were one of the worst teams in the league that year. And I was like,
time is a flat circle.
So I screenshotted the score. They were up like 20 after the first quarter. I was like, I said something like, boy, this would be the worst loss of the season or something like that. The Warriors ended up winning by like 40.
Oh.
They like had a 60-point turnaround. And freezing cold takes got me. But I was like, dude, I live bet the hell out the Warriors. I'm happy. live bet they lose to this team. It's bored.
What's the sit-down interview you'd like to get in your career? It could be anything. That's a great question. What?
That's a great question.
Right? Yeah, think about that.
I want Shanahan.
Really?
I want Kyle.
You're going
Shanahan.
Straight to sports.
I'll keep it sports. I'll keep it sports for now. Because rappers, they're slippery. They know how to get out of things. They can just say something with a couple curse words and you're like, damn, I can't get the answer I want. Yeah. They'll just play dumb. You know what I'm saying? So I would keep it sports and I would go Kyle Shanahan. I want Kyle Shanahan.
Why? Why Kyle?
Because I feel like there's a lot of untapped things that we don't know about Kyle Shanahan. And I feel like...
He's pretty guarded.
He is guarded, but I feel like... I mean, James Wiseman was guarded. And I did a Zoom with him, a private Zoom with some clients. And by the end of the Zoom, everybody's like, wow, James Wiseman, can't believe his personality, blah, 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 blah. Because I feel like I could bring it out of him. Same thing with Shanahan. Like, you got confidence. When you sit down and interview, you feel like, you know what? I'm different than anybody else. I have my interview style. You have your interview style. You'll get what you get out of it, mm-hmm. right? And it's the way you ask questions. And it's the way your tone is. I feel like I can do that with Kyle Shanahan. I'm getting everything out of Shanahan. The whole Trey Lance thing, which he kind of explained to us. But I love to sit down with Kyle Shanahan. Oh, man.
Well, because like, if it's going to go Bay Area sports, I'm going Jed, power rank number one. I'd like to sit down and talk to Jed.
Yeah.
I honestly think that there's some fascinating stuff that I would love to ask him. Just a variety of things.
Jed's a good one.
You know, because I don't think I know enough about him. You know?
Jed's a good one.
That's definitely at the top of my list.
Jed's definitely a good one. We just talked to Larry Bear. Buster Posey's interesting. Giants, I need to see a little more.
The other one is Lincecum.
Yeah, Lincecum does no interview.
That's what I'm saying. You don't really know nothing. But I just would like to go down the rabbit hole with him.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun with Lincecum. Jimmy Garoppolo, would you want to sit down with Jimmy?
I don't think Jimmy gives you enough, though.
I think
we could get a lot of smiling.
Will the truth come out with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I would love a podcast setting with Jimmy for sure.
Ooh.
Because I don't think I've ever seen him in like a pod, like Bussin' with the Boys or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be
good. I have never seen, like, I want nightclub Jimmy Garoppolo stories is what I need in my life. Because you know the guy's getting after it.
100%.
Maybe he's in Vegas for a year. Come on.
Yeah.
What are the stories he's got?
How many puffy parties did he get invited
Relax.
To?
Relax. See, I'm not doing that. And then the interview's
What
over.
Are you talking about? Everyone got invited to him. Everyone. It was a who's who.
That's true. You have to say, oh, I was invited, but I didn't go. That's what he has to say.
Busting with the Boys. They got Baldy on the other day. Baldy's making a round.
I actually got a text. I don't know if you got it. I'm gonna humble brag here. From Baldy, John Lynch in the background. He just put the eyeball emojis. Like, what you think about that?
Background of what?
Let me pull it up. It was a guy working on a drill with John Lynch just staring at him.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do.
Where is it here? I have to pull it up.
That's what they do.
You filibuster. Oh, here we go.
You know what? I'm going to let Jan in Mountain View filibuster. Oh, yeah. Lynch is working.
I think they were chopping it up.
He was at a lot of Ohio State games this year. I know he was at Ohio State. I want to say Ohio State, Indiana. He was on the field before the game, staring at all those big offensive linemen and maybe the big defensive linemen. But he was at Ohio State. John Lynch is working, man. Big draft for the 49ers. I feel really good about them. They're going to be back, folks. They'll be back in contention next season. I feel really confident about that. Jan, Mountain View. Jan, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just real happy about that win last night. And as far as I'm concerned, if they were going to match salaries, I would trade Draymond. I mean, last night I heard on the broadcast where, and I hate to say it, but... OKC went through the same thing that the Warriors went through for years. And look at them now. They got 15 first-round picks going into the next season, mm-hmm. and they're stacked. And they are, you know, they're like the Warriors used to be. And they're going to have to give up some of those good players because of the CBA and so on. But I think where the rubber meets the road is we have to face that. We have to enjoy this team while we have it.
Yep. Jan, were you watching the pregame show yesterday?
I sure was.
Oh, so you heard us talking. You were breaking down the OKC Thunder. Yeah, we were giving you some intel, huh?
Well, you know, that's what fans don't want to hear. They don't want they want to trade the good parts for something else that you don't know that you're going to get. Just because they're great on another team doesn't mean they're going to be great on this team.
Thank you,
they
Jan.
Have to get used to the system that Kerr runs, mm-hmm. just like Schroeder had to find out. And look at him now. He's starting to play like we were hoping he would play. And I saw Draymond on that bench last night jump up after several, key plays by Looney and by even Slow-Mo. And I thought to myself, well, this character, he's over there. He's injured. He's more injured than Kuminga. And we had Kuminga in there if he didn't sprain his ankle or had that high ankle sprain. And son of a gun, that's the person, or he has to come off the bench and Kuminga has to start. I'm sorry, but we have to start and have these younger players learn off the veterans. But
no, Jan, you make a lot of good points, Jan. You're obviously tapped into Warriors basketball. She's locked in. She's locked all the way in. And the thing with OKC, and I asked Mully and Fezzi this question, I asked you this, Chasky. Don't be cracking jokes about Auntie Jen. Don't do that, man.
What are
you doing over there? A little small talk with Spinotti.
I wasn't responding.
You snitching. Chasky was saying, who knows? Chasky, focus.
Because I want you guys to know.
Lock it.
We were also just saying how much we like Jan as a caller, because we can't say it when she's spitting facts.
Yeah.
We're just relaying it.
You can say that on air.
We're saying it right now.
You don't have to keep that a secret.
Jan's
a great caller.
She's one of the all-timers.
She is an all-timer. I love Jan. She freaks up. I learn something every time she calls.
Jan's tapped in.
And she made a great point. We could talk about OKC being loaded. Everybody, look at OKC. Look at all this. Well, could you handle 5 years of losing, Warrior fans? Could you handle 4 to 5 years of losing?
I mean, we handled 17.
They had no expectations. We have expectations now.
Warrior fans barely handle 4 to 5 days of losing these
days. There's expectations now in the Bay Area, which I love. But the bar has been reset. And the setting has been reset to, you better be competing for something. And Jan was cooking because it took OKC a long, long time.
Okay, so let's play this out then, in our heads. I'm going full dramatic hypotheticals.
Yep.
I trade away everything. Everything, B. And it is just Kuminga, Guy Santos, Quentin Post, Curry, and G-Leaguers. How much better is the team that they have currently than that team?
How much better are they?
Win differential for the rest of the year?
Oh, they're not. They're not winning a lot of games, Chasky. They're not winning a lot of shit.
Say those players again,
okay.
Chasky.
So Kuminga, let's just, in this hypothetical, team that you have right now, you make no moves, all right? The reverse is, and how many wins does that team get you? I don't know. I really don't know. The reverse is, I'm going deep into this. This is just a hypothetical proposition. Guy, Steph, Quinn Post, Kuminga, all G-Leaguers, and Pachemski. What's the win differential?
Oh, you're not winning nearly as many games as you would right now if you said that.
Are we talking 5 games? Are we talking 10 games?
And this why we're talking 20 game difference? We may be talking about a 15-20 game difference.
How many games are left?
They play 47.
Okay, so we got about 20-something games. 37
games.
Okay.
37. Let's go 37.
So 37.
35.
Okay, let's say 35. 35.
Let me figure this out really quick.
If they stand pat, their record is what? Probably around 500, right?
20-15. I'll give them 20-15. If they traded in your hypothetical and had those G Leaguers with Steph and company, in those 35 games, I think they're 10-25.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I mean.
Okay.
But also the question is, if you do blow it up, how patient are you going to be during a rebuild? That's the other question. Nobody wants the answer. Because OKC, they had to be patient. Now, the expectations are different in Oklahoma City than they are right now in the Bay Area.
Are we more patient with 500, or are we more patient in rebuild mode?
I don't know.
Because I think the Giants have found out the last couple years, trying to be in 500 mode while rebuilding, is we have zero patience for that.
No.
But, like, if you just hollowed the whole thing out, Like with the Niners, we just tuned out, and then they were good again. And we were like, all right, we're back.
Another note here with the OKC model is, let's not forget, they didn't. You got to draft well, and they didn't draft Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No, they
got him from the Clippers.
Yeah.
So
Clippers.
You need a little bit of those things to happen as well if you want to get back to that point. Right. Which, I mean, you could say that about every team. I mean, you need the Timberwolves to pass on Steph Curry two times in a row to be where we're at now. So you need those moments, but that's part of the equation, I guess.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1. San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Mayor Daniel Lurie will join us in 30 minutes on the Morning Roast. The mayor of San Francisco, Daniel Lurie, as he gets ready for some big events happening in the city over the next year or two. You got the All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game. You got the World Cup. What else? We got the Super Bowl 60. There's a lot going on in the Bay, not to mention all the conventions that we usually have in the city. Who's the winner? Chris Joswick. Chris Joswick. Look, yeah. I'm telling you, look these guys up. Make sure they're not hoopers.
So, right? I guess the exercise...
I don't have the scouting reports on.
No, I need you to get these names, Google search, and see who these guys are.
I like the surprise.
No, I want a scouting report on a knockout tournament, Shask. I'm trying to win a damn trophy. I want to win.
You didn't have a scouting report last year. You did fine.
I just walked in and told people who's coming in second. My trash talk got me to the Final Four. I don't think that's going to work this year.
Just up that a little bit.
I don't think that's going to work this
season. You just got to worry about Grandy.
Not really. Spinotti, you partaking in the knockout tournament?
I think I am this year. Yes.
Wow, you should.
Got to see my jumper.
So, like, I guess where I'm going with my entire analogy is that this fan base, the algorithm for the fan base in terms of happiness, there's winning, and then everything that's not winning, I'm talking about winning big, is not good enough. And so, like, I see a text right now from the 510. Playing 500 isn't losing. See, for this fan base, 500 is losing. And that's where the calibration is, because when you have Steph Curry, 500 is not acceptable. Yeah. And fair or not, that's
tanking,
just the way we are.
But it's tanking acceptable.
I think they're almost identical, I guess, is the way they're perceived.
I remember the 15-50 season during the pandemic, and that was a long year. 15 wins, watching games that you knew they had no shot at winning. That was painful. And I get it. Oh, yeah, we went through